Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I've done many Mother's Day sermons, and today I was not led in that direction, so just happy Mother's Day. Here we go. But we will begin a lot of scripture this morning, a lot to follow along. I purposely did not put it on the PowerPoint so that you can find it and see it for yourself in Mark chapter 16. Verse 1, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll the stone away from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. And she went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. And later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents and they will drink. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. That was the reading of Mark chapter 16. This Thursday is Ascension Day. Counting Easter as day one, Ascension Days is 40 days after Easter. Easter is the day Jesus rose from the dead, and Ascension Day signifies Jesus taking his seat at the right hand of God, establishing his divine authority, and acting as an intercessor for those who believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. 40 days after he arose, he took his place in heaven. And so as I considered Ascension Day in my mind, I was led to consider the different accounts of the resurrection throughout the Gospels. Here in Mark that we just read, this story is very concise, not a lot of detail. In Matthew 28, there is even less interaction between Jesus and his followers. But in Matthew, we get the story, it kind of entertains us a little more. We get to hear about the earthquake and the guards, and we get to hear about the angel who's sitting on top of the stone and how the soldiers were bribed and the reaction of the high priests. We kind of get that laid out for us in the book of Matthew. And Matthew and Mark is where we get the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 18 and 20, it says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Matthew and Mark are where we find shortened summaries of what actually happened personally to the disciples. But they just kind of stick to the big picture. They give us a little bit of the glimpse of the resurrection, and they give us more of the Great Commission. Kind of, it's more of a big picture. But in Luke and John, we find intimate details of what happened between Jesus and his disciples and Jesus' newly resurrected body. It was different. And I'm going to attempt to walk us through the accounts. These are, again, firsthand accounts of Jesus' new body and his new interaction with his disciples. And we find these in John chapter 20, so you can put your finger in John 20. And we also find it in Luke 24. So you can put your finger in Luke 24. We're going to be flipping back and forth between John 20 and Luke 24. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version this morning. And there's some interesting things that you will see as we parallel these accounts. And my attempt is to put this in chronological order. I don't know if I hit it exactly, but that is my attempt this morning. Beginning in John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, and she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So just real quick, it's Mary noted as going to the tomb, but when she speaks to the disciples, she says, "We don't know where we laid them." So who's the we? Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the very first day of the week, early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned to the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." And flip back to John. John gives us a little more detail in John 20, verse 3. "And Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. And these verses read as if Mary had gone to the tomb early while it was dark. And then she went back and told the disciples. And then when the disciples ran, it seems like she followed them again. She must have been a jogger. Because again, in verse 11 of John 20, we find her right there outside the tomb again. Right after John and Peter leave, we find Mary outside the tomb again. In verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb. weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And now when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she supposed him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And we pick up the story in Luke 24. In our order of events, we're ready for verse 13 in Luke 24. "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked of all these things which had happened, so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' And the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels and said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And when he drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while we walked and talked on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" And so they arose that very hour, which again was late in the day, towards evening. And they went at night, it appears, and returned all the way 7 miles to Jerusalem. In verse 33, "So they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered there, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.'" I cannot find where he appeared to Simon. I looked. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. But I don't see it recorded for us that he appeared to Simon. I wonder what he said. I don't know that conversation, but I'm sure it was interesting. Would have been 4 days about since Simon Peter would have denied him. This interaction is confirmed. I don't know if you realize this, but it's said again in 1 Corinthians 15. You can turn there if you want, but this is referenced. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 6, you'll recognize these verses here. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3, it says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12." In my Bible footnotes, the Cephas as Peter, as Simon. Back to this passage. "And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." So again, my Bible footnotes is 1 Corinthians 15:5 back to Luke 24:34, that he appeared to Simon. I might have missed something, but I didn't see it outlined in those references of the four Gospels. And so continuing on where were we at? We were in, my pages are flipped around. Continuing on in Luke, we're ready for verse 33. I'll go back to verse 33. It says, "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were gathered around them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said to them, 'Peace to you.' And they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do you doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.'" So this is the first recorded time that Jesus appears to his disciples as a group. And they can hardly believe it. Even though they're looking at him, they cannot quite completely see. They can't quite get it, even though they're looking at him. This was a lot to take in. It appears they thought he was a spirit. And Jesus says, "Look, a spirit does not eat. I have flesh and bones." And in verse 40 says, "When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and he ate it in their presence to kind of prove that he was not just a spirit, because they didn't quite recognize him, did they? They didn't quite know who he was. They wanted to. They recognized his hands and his feet. They knew that it was Jesus, but it wasn't like, boom, they didn't quite 100% see him. So, flip to John. Back to John, verse 19. In John 20, chapter 20, verse 19. "And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." So you can kind of tell from Luke's rendition that there was quite a bit of emotion that happened between the first and second sentence there from John chapter 20, verse 20. There's quite a bit of emotion in there when he showed him his hands, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They had to conquer some fears and to get some understanding. So continuing on in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In verse 24, continuing on in John chapter 20, it says, "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And again, Jesus came on, as I understand, the first day that he rose. On Easter, he came the first time to the disciples that night. During the day, there was the interaction and back and forth at the tomb and to Mary. And then he appeared to the two guys, I assume guys, maybe it was a man and wife, on the road. And then they came back, and then he appeared that night to all the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas says that unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. In verse 26 of John chapter 20, it says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. When Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And flip back to Luke 24, verse 44 is where we're ready for here in order. Luke 24, verse 44. And then he, Jesus, said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And this is what our brother Luke Martin preached last week. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Our Luke said that this should be our prayer, that Jesus would open our own understanding so that we, each of us, could fully understand his holy scripture, the written word of God. What a prayer. I wrote in the margin of my Bible last week, he said a prayer. I wrote a prayer, and then I added a little plus. A plus prayer is what I wrote in the margin of my Bible. And continuing on, Luke chapter 24, verse 36. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And the very next thing that I can find in order is John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself to Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And I have tried to put these in chronological order. I hope that it's not been too confusing for you. I was afraid I might lose some folks along the way, but we made it this far. That's good. Here's a point that I cannot quite wrap my head around. I found that in the first few verses of chapter 21, Jesus shows up where? At the Sea of Tiberias, which is where the disciples are at. Peter said he was going to go fishing, and several of the others said, we're going to come too. And what is wrong with that, you might ask? But where were the disciples supposed to be? In Luke 24, we find Jesus appearing to the disciples 8 days later. It says in verse 26 from Luke 24, and that time again Thomas was there, and Jesus was giving the disciples instructions, and he ended with verses 48 and 49. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And it seems like the disciples were supposed to stay and wait in Jerusalem, but it seems to me that they went fishing. The disciples were still in training, even after the resurrection. And they were still trying to understand everything. They still mess up. And we see Jesus going to get them. Jesus went to meet them where they were. And just like how he still does for us. Jesus comes and gets us when we stray. And Jesus is so kind, so loving, and so gentle. Even in the process of restoring Peter, Jesus is kind and gentle and loving. Jesus is always kind and gentle and loving. In John 21, verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it. And he put on his clothes and plunged into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, which from my limited research was about 100 yards. They were about 100 yards off of land, and Peter put his clothes on and jumped in and swam. And the rest of them dragged the net with the boat because they couldn't get the fish into the boat. There were so many. In verse 9, as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153 fish, it says, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. And then Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. And John lets us know here that in verse 14, now this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The first time was the night that he rose from the grave. The second was 8 days later when Thomas was with him. I don't know how much time it went along between, I don't know how long those guys waited in Jerusalem, but they eventually went fishing, and Jesus came and found them. And this was the third time. And this is when Jesus reinstated Peter. Even though it reads the disciples were maybe not at the right place, he still met them again where they were. And Jesus still does this for you and I today. If you are his sheep and you wander, he comes and finds you. That's the good shepherd. And so Jesus restores Peter here in John 21, 15 to 23. We're not going to get into all of that interaction, but Peter is restored, and then Peter and John and Jesus, they all have a conversation. And we'll pick up in verse 24 of John chapter 21. And this is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus said, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that were written. Amen. And to finish our attempt at the chronological order of Luke and John, we'll jump to Luke 24, verse 50. It says there, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And there was something I noticed in this study. Jesus is different in his resurrected body. He wasn't the same. There was something unfamiliar about Jesus. And yet the disciples still knew who he was. But they didn't necessarily see like they saw before. In John 20, verse 14, it says, "And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus," this is Mary Magdalene, "and she did not know that it was Jesus." In Luke 24, 16, the guys on the road to Emmaus, "but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him." In Luke 24, 37, it says, when they met him for the first time, they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. In John 20, 20, he said, "when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." They saw the Lord in his hands and in his side. That's how they recognized him. And in John 21, it says, "but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus." And John had to tell Peter it was Jesus, and it kind of reads as if he knew it was Jesus by the amount of fish they caught. Not necessarily by what Jesus looked like. And in verse 12 of John 21, it says, Jesus said, "come and eat." And it says, "yet none of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?'" Very telling. Why was Jesus so unrecognizable? What would be the purpose of Jesus not looking like he did before? Why would the disciples have to guess if that was really Jesus? These accounts read as if Jesus actually appeared, potentially, maybe this is my crazy head, but potentially he appeared differently each time. There was no recognition. I don't know. Have you ever thought of that? Every time Jesus shows up after the resurrection, he seems to actually look different to his disciples. It reminded me of this, and turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31. "And when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you invited me. You visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' And then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.' And then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' And they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into an everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, we, like his disciples, are done seeing Jesus. We are left with only seeing those who need Jesus. We are done seeing Jesus. We are left with only seeing those who need Jesus. There's another reason that Jesus does not look like Jesus anymore. I think the real Jesus wants you to look like him. Jesus does not want the world to see him anymore. If he wanted to, he would show up. I don't think the world is ready for Jesus to show up again. For when he does return, he will come to judge. If Jesus wanted the world to look for him, he would appear. I think Jesus wants the world to see himself in your reflection. Jesus does not want to be seen except through your eyes and your heart. We are to be his hands and his feet. Jesus is finished living on this earth, and when he returns, he will be the judge supreme. But until then, we are to be his reflection. Where is the world to see Jesus? In us. This is the title, Be Jesus. That is your assignment for the week. Be Jesus. Let us know next week how that goes. Be Jesus, it's your turn. Dear God, we are humbled that you want us to be your son, that you want us to be your daughter. God, help us to accomplish that task, that we would be faithful, that we would be able to bring your light and your hope to the world around us. God, you have given us a daunting task this morning. Fill us with your spirit. Enable us to accomplish your will. Give us your strength that we may be your light and your grace and your kindness to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. And chorister may come and lead us in a closing song.